All right, everybody, back from the long weekend, indeed. It wasn't long enough, if you ask some. Always filled with too much things to do, but glad to be back with you. And glad to talk real NFL football, which begins in earnest on Thursday night. And, of course, for us, centers Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in Landover at Northwest Stadium. Good afternoon. Hope you guys had a good Labor Day weekend. Lots of college football, as you just heard Coach Sheehan talking about. Watched a ton of college football from really... Thursday night? Yeah, I guess there were a couple of games Thursday night that I watched and kept an eye on. And then really on Friday and, of course, all day Saturday and then Sunday afternoon, Sunday night and Monday night, including Virginia Tech and Maryland and a little bit of Virginia. So for some local flavor, we had that. And we had some big games and a bunch of teams in the top 10 going down. Probably not a surprise when you have as many juicy matchups. Obviously, somebody's got to win. So we knew some top 10s would go down. It was just a matter of who, like Ohio State and Texas, like Miami and Notre Dame, and so on and so forth. All right, so here's where I wanted to start. Before we get into the Giants and the Commanders, week one coming up this Sunday, and obviously we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the rest of the NFL, but this will be heavier on college football than certainly the rest of the week will be, and certainly heavy on the Giants and the Commanders. The Giants, or I should say the Commanders, are not practicing today. They had basically a light walkthrough yesterday, and there's been no media access since last Thursday. So if you've been looking for press conferences and all that stuff, there hadn't been any. Now, the coaches worked. The players obviously got plenty of time off. They're refreshed. They're ready to go, you hope, mentally, physically, emotionally. They return hardcore to the practice field tomorrow afternoon as normal, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Boom, walkthrough Saturday, game on Sunday. In terms of what we saw over the weekend, right, when you get teams playing a first game, and that's essentially what most of the Commanders will be doing on Sunday. You have no idea, no clue, nothing to base it on, how it's going to go. And when I say first game, we all know it's the first regular season game, but because Dan Quinn was so easy on these guys in the preseason games to where they hardly played, anybody of any consequence hardly played at all, which drives me crazy, and I don't mind sharing that, and I've been open to that. I'm not saying he's wrong. It just drives me insane, okay? I would not do it that way. I believe you got to play football in order to get ready to play football, but teams do it different ways. There's different methods. There's different records. There's different success. There's some teams that have been an absolute flop and some teams that have had no problem, right? But there are probably more flops for teams that do nothing in August except practice, which is not playing the game, not even close. So as we saw in college football all weekend, right, you just never know what to expect. And you never know how a team is going to hit you and whether a team's going to be ready or not, right? Like, you look no further. Then last night's debacle for Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels, right? They come out house on fire. The crowd is jacked. It's Monday night. They got all sorts of pomp and circumstances, you know, Chapel Bill's debut, all of that stuff, right? And they just throttle them on the first drive. Just run it down their throat. And you thought, oh my goodness, what in the world happened here? Belichick, all that momentum, Freddie Kitchens, longtime NFL offensive coordinator. He was with North Carolina last year, right? So he had a feel for some of their talent, with the exception of they have 70 new players, and they didn't play a preseason game. And all they can do is practice. And when you practice, it's not the same as a game. It just never is. It never will be. It's not even close. It's not even close, guys. It really isn't. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's just not. But that being said, it is what it is, right? And North Carolina came out, just ran all over them, and everybody thought the party was going to be on. TCU, a pretty good team. Remember, they were in the national championship just a couple of years ago. They won 9 games last year. Hey, man, Sonny Dykes done a good job with them. Kendall Briles, longtime, you know, fancy schmancy offensive coordinator. They've got a veteran quarterback. They've got plenty. Okay, to go toe-to-toe any day of the week with anybody. But last night, they got sucker-punched by Carolina to start the game, right? And they immediately give up the touchdown. And I think Carolina made a stop, if you will, I think it was defensively on their first series. And then from basically TCU's second defensive series on, it was over. It was over. Lights out. Lights out. And it's hard to sit here and say, oh, well, Bill Belichick's lost his fastball, because here's the problem. All of you guys that put everything on coaching as the end-all be-all, as the only thing that matters, which you're completely wrong on, fail to remember that they played no preseason games, that they have 70 new players, and that everything has changed. There's no continuity. There's no, like, nothing to lean on in terms of when adversity hits you in the mouth. What do you do? How do you respond? Right? There's none of that. None of that. So, what we have is a situation where a team comes out hot, right? And a team we think is going to rock and roll, and then it immediately changes after the first series. And it becomes a complete opposite of what we saw in the first series, and it becomes a demolition derby for the team that got punched in the mouth to start the game, right? So that's one way a game can play out. But we didn't know that. Right? Belichick's new, all these new players, transfers, this, that, and the other thing, all the changeover, new coaches, new everything, new way of doing things. Belichick's still grumpy and frumpy. He's 73 years old. Just everything's changed, right? But yet, that's how that game played out. On Sunday, right, in the NFL, there's going to be every team playing. I mean, Thursday, obviously, Friday, in Brazil, Monday, so on and so forth. But you get the point. This weekend, every team will be playing, and they've played 3 preseason games. Now, every team individually does it a little bit different, right? And as we mentioned, the Commanders hardly played anybody of any consequence, of any real consequence. I shouldn't say of any consequence, of any real consequence, meaning Jaden Daniels, Laremy Tunsil, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, so on and so forth. Okay. Obviously some guys played. I'm not saying nobody played. I'm not saying that. Okay. But what I am saying is we still have no idea, even though they played, how they're going to respond at the beginning. Are they going to be tight? Is it going to take time to get the oil running through the engine? Is it going to, you know, do whatever? So you have to kind of figure out, what you are and what you're going to be and do it quickly, because you can come out like Carolina did last night and then completely crap your pants. Or maybe you come out a little bit slow, you get the oil running through the engine, 1 series, 2 series, hopefully you're still 7-7, nothing, 3-3, 10-10, whatever the score might be. By the time you get the oil fully running through the engine, and, you know, like, you remember how to tackle, you remember how to break tackles, you remember what it feels like if you're Jaden Daniels to get hit, because you haven't been hit all offseason, you haven't been hit since late January, and it takes a little time to get used to that, and the timing and the rhythm and the everything, right? And you hope that you're not down 13-0 before you figure it out. You hope that you're at least tied. 3-3, 7-7, 10-10, 13-13, whatever the case might be. You hope that you don't lose week one before week one even really gets started. That's the biggest thing that you're looking for this weekend. And again, we saw it in college football. While North Carolina did not lose the game from the beginning, they lost the game from the second series. There is no doubt about that. On offense and defense for TCU. Now, you can't say that was exactly the same for every game, but who didn't feel like Saturday watching Ohio State and Texas? Oh, man. While it was a defensive struggle and a defensive battle, and you didn't know how Ohio State's young quarterback would operate, what's his name? Salen? I think it's Salen. I have to double check that. Too many damn names. But my point being is, while they didn't score right away, and I think the game was scoreless at the end of one, you had a feeling, you had a strong feeling, anybody watching that game should have, that Arch, who's got more pomp and circumstance just because he's football royalty, not because it's deserved, that Arch was not going to light it up in the shoe. And that Matt Patricia, pencil neck wearing Matt Patricia, would just own the day. And that's exactly what happened from the jump. Now, Texas got back into that game late and almost had a chance to tie late. But from the start, for the first 55-ish minutes, you knew how that game was going to play out. You didn't know exactly last night how that game was going to play out because, again, Carolina came out with all that momentum, all that energy, all that pomp and circumstance, went right down the field. And from the second series on offense and defense, did diddly poo. So the reason why I bring this all up is because we sit here 5 days away from the season opener, and everybody thinks, oh, the Giants. Well, the Giants won three games last year. This is cake. This is nothing to worry about. This is nothing to see. This is nothing to think about. This is a bye. Let's get ready for Green Bay and Micah Parsons next Thursday, baby. That is the absolute wrong attitude to have. When you start thinking that you've arrived, the train's going to roll over you. You're going to get dump trucked. You're going to get absolutely beaten down when you think you've arrived. And sure, fans are different than players, and players are different than coaches, and there's no coach on that staff that thinks they've arrived per se, and that they can just roll the ball out and show up on Sunday. But I am concerned about how long it's going to take the engine to get started. And is it sustainable if, for whatever reason, they come out with a lightning fast start like North Carolina did last night, and then all of a sudden adversity kicks in? Maybe you turn the ball over. Maybe they go on a long drive. Maybe you get a bunch of penalties that derail a drive. Whatever the case might be, bad special teams. We've seen that over and over again. Do you have the willpower, the emotional energy, the physical energy, and the physical wherewithal to overcome things that go wrong either from the very get-go or maybe after an initial quick bolt of lightning? North Carolina couldn't, and they got absolutely manhandled. Texas couldn't, and they almost still had a chance late, but they couldn't. Notre Dame kind of couldn't, and they yet had very much a chance late in that game. Every game obviously plays out different. I know college is different than the NFL, so on and so forth. And I always tend to think that even if a team comes out fast and quick in week one in the NFL, because the energy, the emotion, the crowd, the this, it's opening day, maybe they haven't hit anybody real in 2 weeks, whatever the case might be, I just, what I don't know is what Commanders team we're going to get. I'm thinking it's going to be the slow, sluggish, it takes a little oil, a little time for the oil to run through the engine Commanders team on Sunday. The good news is you're not playing an explosive juggernaut. You're not playing a great team in anyone's eyes, on paper, in reality. You're playing an improved team. I have no doubt in thinking that. But you're not playing a juggernaut. You're not playing TCU if you're North Carolina. You're not playing Ohio State if you're Texas. You get the point? So you're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance. Now, the best case scenario is that the Commanders come out efficiently. Not even lightning quick, just efficient. 7, 8 play, 9 play drive, whatever it is, put up points, preferably a touchdown. And then they make a 3-and-out stand. And then they get the crowds into it. And then maybe they get a good special teams return. And then they score again. And it doesn't have to be, again, a second touchdown. But if you score a touchdown on the first drive, it could be a field goal. If you score a field goal on the first drive, maybe it's a touchdown. And you have a sustained level of energy and a sustained level of play. And you're not sitting there midway through the second quarter going, geez, what happened? Why is this so hard? Because remember, you were kind of doing that in week two last year against the Giants in the home opener. Now, you were moving the football, just not cashing in the red zone. So if you're not moving the football at all, never mind not cashing in the red zone and kicking field goals like they did that day, then you're wondering, oh, man, what happened here? Why is this not working? Did we make too many changes? Did we lose too many receivers? Is Terry not right? Did we not work hard enough? Did we not play enough football? All of those things just start to creep into your mind. You want to avoid that because that mental uncertainty is what leads to uneven performances, in my eyes. Because you almost feel like you're chasing the game and you're trying to figure out what the hell you're doing wrong instead of doing what you need to do and what you should be capable of doing. So I know this is kind of a long rambling soliloquy of using some of the college football games, some of the bigger, splashier games as a means to kind of get into our Giants Commanders conversation. But I do worry significantly about Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that the Commanders aren't going to win, pick later on in the week. But I know my guy Athan in Annapolis has screamed about this all offseason. I think a bunch of us feel this will be a closer game than most people think it will be. And the question is why? I want to attempt to try and answer some of that on the other side. I'm going to give you a couple of things today. A projected box score is already out from PFF. I think that's fun. We can kind of kick it around. Who is going to be the lead back? I'll tell you who in the projected box score is, and then I want to have that discussion. If it's not Austin Eckler, is it Chris Rodriguez or is it Bill? Who gets more carries? Who's the main physical back, if you will? If it's not by formation Austin Eckler, on the opening play, and then a sub made a play or two later. Who is the main physical back, Rodriguez, or is it Bill? So I'll have the projected box score for you already out from PFF. Who the number one back is, I'll answer that for me. I want to hear from you. And then already, what is the number one fear? The number one fear. We'll do point of confidence tomorrow, Thursday, what have you, that you have for this week. The number one fear, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. We're broadcasting live on your radio on the Team 980, all throughout the DMV and streaming nationally on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon, back to work edition, as we get ready for week one in the NFL season and also tie it in to the real opening weekend of the college football season. I mean, no offense to anybody like a week and a half ago. That was just like a soft, that's essentially the NFL preseason. I know it counts, but you know, you get the point. This was the real thing, this weekend, and it wrapped up last night in spectacular fashion in Chapel Hill with TCU stomping a mud hole on Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Also, and I listen, I didn't get to see every game, okay? So I don't care what you bet on or whatever. I didn't get to see every game. I watched as much as I could. I mean, games are going on all at the same time. You know, I tried to watch a little bit of everything, anything that was interesting. But there were games that I was more locked into, i.e. Clemson LSU on Saturday night, than, I don't know, Florida and whoever the hell they played at night. Long Island University, I think it was. LIU? Yeah. You get the point. So I didn't get to see every game, but I got to see really a lot of the important games. And I did nothing. I went out to dinner on Friday night, had a drink, watched a bunch of college football there, watched Army go down in overtime, which was disappointing. My goodness. After a near, you know, an undefeated start, a 10-0 start last year, they lost at home in overtime to a school that nobody's ever heard of. Watched a bunch of Auburn and Baylor. Auburn just tearing Robbie G the three, his Baylor Bears up. He was on the call for Fox. So I watched a bunch. Didn't see everything. Watched a bunch. And obviously a lot of last night and a lot of the Virginia Tech game and a lot of Sunday night, Notre Dame, Miami, what have you. Let me give you a quick thing before we get out to the calls at 301-230-0980. My guy, the Birdman, said, of course, the number one fear for the Commanders is Jaden Daniels getting hurt. I think that's a season fear. That's not a week one fear. Of course you could say, well, I mean, if Jaden Daniels gets hurt early, sure, that's a fear. But that's a season thing. That would be the number one season fear, right? In addition to the amped up schedule, competition, better quarterback, so on and so forth. Which we can have that conversation as we go along this week. But to me, in week one, of course, you don't want any serious crippling career-ending or season-ending injuries or injuries that really, really hurt you for a long period of time, of course. That goes without saying. And it's more notable for Jaden just because of everything Jaden is. And everything, quite honestly, that he might not be. But everything that he is so far. But the number one fear for me this Sunday against the New York Giants is this reworked offensive line in pass rush against that Giants front. Even though Laremy Tunsil had his pass rush win rate, it was either pass rush win rate or the best passing grade via PFF, one of those two analytics, I can't remember which one, had his best of his career last year. Brandon Coleman is switching positions and gave up like 10 sacks last year. And I feel better that he played a little bit against Baltimore, but he hasn't played a lot, and he hasn't played a lot at a new position. And Tyler Biadasz, who struggled down the stretch at times last year, if he's not a part of the mix, if something happens to him, that could be lights out in a hurry, especially with Sexy Dexy on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And no Sam Cosmi. And we don't know necessarily who's going to be at right guard. Is it going to be Andrew Wiley? Is it going to be Trent Scott? Is it going to be Nick Allegretti? Don't know. Don't know. And then, of course, the rookie in Josh Connerly at right tackle. Now, to me, they have a much better chance against this Giants pass rush than they probably would have last year. However, the last time they saw this Giants pass rush, for the most part, and we'll get there in a sec, they completely stoned them. No sacks. The Giants came in to that game at MetLife Stadium 2 weeks after the rib injury, or 2 weeks after the rib injury, and 1 week after the Hail Mary, and they were leading the NFL in sacks. They didn't touch they touched him. They didn't sack Jaden Daniels in that game. So we know the offensive line can do okay and hold their own. And it should be a lot better this year with Laremy Tunsil, with Josh Connerly, with Brandon Coleman inside. But that was with Sam Cosmi, and now we know they won't have Sam Cosmi. However, the Giants' pass rush is also better. And that's where the fear comes in. You're kind of used to Kayvon Thibodeau and some of the success he had early on in his career against the Commanders or Washington football team. It would seem like he was like only play great, kind of like Daniel Jones division against the Commanders or against the Burgundy and Gold. You know, Dexter Lawrence had that serious injury at the end of last year. As far as I know, he is healthy. And you know that Brian Burns, now in year two, is going to probably be better. But what you didn't have last year, if you were the New York Giants, as good as your pass rush was at times last year, what you didn't have last year is Abdul Carter, the number three overall pick. And that's what I worry about in terms of can that ruin this game for the Washington Commanders? That's my number one fear for this Sunday. That's my number one fear. That pass rush, those four guys, inability to get the run game going for whatever reason, whether it's Rodriguez, whether it's Phil, whether it's Eckler, whether it's jet sweeps, Jaden, whatever the case might be, you're in second and nine, you're in third and eight, and they're teeing off, and they're getting home. And they're beating you like a drum. Because I've seen that happen. Not just with the Giants. But remember, we've seen that happen early in a season. Remember Ryan Fitzpatrick's only game with the Commanders, then the football team. Right? He was getting ambushed, and then he got put into retirement. So it can happen. And it probably will happen. The question is how do you get them out of that? How do you keep them at bay? I'll have that answer next, plus your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. First, here's a trending alert. All right, so the Giants, again, are the week one opponent, and for whatever it's worth, Jackson Dart is listed ahead of Jameis Winston on the Giants' unofficial first regular season depth chart as their backup quarterback. So we could see the rookie at some point on Sunday, and certainly we could see him in uniform at the very least, although Brian Daboll would not confirm exactly if that is true. But that is, again, how the unofficial depth chart is listed by the New York Giants. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons said his first choice was to remain and be a Dallas Cowboy. It didn't work out. He's practicing with the Green Bay Packers, getting ready for their season opener. And don't forget, even though he's got a back issue and might need an epidural, he is scheduled, Parsons and the Green Bay Packers, to host the Washington Commanders on a short turnaround to week two, Thursday Night Football, in nine nights. Speaking of Parsons' former team now, the Dallas Cowboys, they are wrapping up the practice week, heading up to Philadelphia tomorrow for the season opener on Thursday Night Football against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Meanwhile, in baseball, the Nationals snapping the long losing streak against the Marlins yesterday with the rookie battery. Tonight, they'll try and make it two in a row. 6:45, the first pitch scheduled from Nationals Park. In a lost season, you just hope for little morsels of anything you can get your hands on. Cade Cavalli has been pretty good for the Nationals so far, pitching to a 5.11 ERA, but that was because of one bad inning. last week against the Yankees. For the most part, he's been pretty good, and you just hope that the arrow keeps pointing up for the oft-injured Cavalli. He'll get the bump. 645, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us. On a Tuesday, we rock and roll towards 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock overall, burgundy and gold today. At that point, regular season is here in the NFL. We're kind of mixed the NFL, Commanders, Giants in with the college football. We are brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now, at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 9/13, and save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. So there you have that. Now let's get to it. In terms of this, how can the Commanders combat that pass rush of the Giants, right? Well, there's one main way. It goes without saying, the offensive line and pass pro has to do a great job. Receivers have to get separation. Jaden has to be on time. So on and so forth. Yes, we understand that. But the number one way you back a team out of a pass rush is by staying ahead of the sticks and by running the ball, not making yourself one-dimensional. And let me give you this. The Commanders, as we know, struggled down the stretch last year to run the ball. But when were they most effective? When were they most effective? And you say, well, they struggled in Tampa for offense. They got the late turnover. That helped, all that. They struggled to control the ball and not turn it over in Philadelphia in the playoffs. They struggled against Dallas in the regular season finale. They kind of fell asleep against Atlanta in the first half. That game against Tennessee, where they ran the ball for, I think it was 237 yards, including Brian Robinson on the first series, and he's obviously no longer here. That's where this offense was at its most dangerous, because you couldn't just hone in on Jaden, because you couldn't just hone in on Terry and Zach Ertz, because you couldn't just tee off. If you want to beat the Giants, and if you want to have a little bit of breathing room, they must, and I mean must, run the football, and run the football effectively. The Giants' defense last year, you know, was, again, good pass rush-wise, fairly good against the run until Dexter Lawrence got hurt. But the Giants, but the Commanders were able to run the football in both games against them. B-Rob largely in the first game, week two. And then B-Rob was out for the rematch at MetLife, but Chris Rodriguez was in there. And that was before Eckler got hurt and so on and so forth. So I can give you all sorts of metrics, and I'm going to give them to you, but you have to be able to run the football and run the ball effectively and stay ahead of the sticks and not be 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, and not be one-dimensional, and be balanced, and whoever you decide to use. And I think it'll be Chris Rodriguez that gets the first snap or the first carry out of the power, so-called power backs. That's not Austin Eckler. Jeremy McNichols is a super sub reserve, can do both. I think Chris Rodriguez is the number one sort of in their mind. That doesn't mean he'll get the first snap, because that might be Eckler in a spread formation. But I think Chris Rodriguez will be the first main carry. And he should be. He's earned it. Got his body in better shape. He's worked his ass off. He's been here. He's probably better in pass pro and pass catching than Bill is right now. He's earned it. Give him a chance. Give him a shot. That doesn't mean Bill doesn't get an opportunity. Now, what we don't know is whether they're going to have 3 up or 4 up on game day. If they only have 3 up, Bill's probably getting benched, or not benched, but not activated. Right? That's probably the case. If they only have 3 up. If they have 4 up, then obviously all 4 will be up. And you can see a rotation of the two. But I do think that first carry, for whatever it's worth, will go to Chris Rodriguez. I don't know that, but I feel that. What about you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get out to the phones for the first time today. And I know somebody who wants to talk about both the Carolina-TCU game, because she was there, and also the Commanders and the Giants, even though she hates the term Commanders, is Dr. Sabah in the leadoff spot on line two, Metal. Let's go to Dr. Sabah to let her get back to work. Doc, how are you? Sorry about your Tar Heels last night, but some great pictures with some great dignitaries, including Roy Williams. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Second, third time I've seen him. I've seen him at the basketball games. Listen, Chris, I was so excited. My friend called me, and you know, he said, hey, I got tickets. If you want them, you know, they're in the Blue Zone. And, you know, I said, oh, my God, I wasn't thinking I was going to go. But, okay, yeah, sure. So I was so excited, and it was buzzing. I mean, so many people there. I actually met somebody who remembers me from biology class at Carolina. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, and
kidding.
Yeah.
How about
and I got to meet, I got to meet Randy Moss. Very nice.
Right.
I just stood there. I went to the front where, mm-hmm. you know, you're not on the field, but you're right on the edge, because mm-hmm. that's where all the recruits are going to sit. They had tons of recruits there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it went too well for them. But anyway, and as they're walking by, I just said, hey, Randy, can I take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. So they're very nice. And I was trying to find Michael and Lawrence Taylor, but I couldn't really get they didn't come
Did
by.
Did you stay the whole game or no?
Are you crazy? Oh, my God. At halftime, I was texting the people that we came with, like, let's get out of here. Because all I asked for is to not be embarrassed. That's all I wanted. Just don't embarrass me, because I already knew we were going to lose.
Hey, Doc,
did you hear
what was coming out of TCU's locker room after the game?
Oh, what? Yeah, I saw your tweet. What is that? Bam, bam, blam, blam, something.
Yeah, ready?
Weird, yeah.
Wait, here's how it sounded.
Listen.
Here's how it sounded.
Okay.
Hang on. Metal?
I'm listening.
Metal, you got me? You got the TCU fight song thing? Can you play that? All right, Doc. That is the most ridiculous fight song or chant or whatever, but it's actually kind of groovy, and I kind of like it.
Well, that's about as confusing. I can't say what they're saying. That's about as confusing what I was watching.
I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're saying either, other than TCU at the end. I have no idea.
I know the Carolina one, the very end, it says, go to heck, you know, the real word Duke.
Mm-hmm.
They're our fight song. But anyway, so here's, and then I'll get to the Redskins. So here's where, you know, they get the opening thing. I mean, just the atmosphere is amazing. They gave us these little bands that have lights on them, so the lights kept flickering. It was on your wristband, and they had them all, you know, attached. And so, you know, you oh, my wrist is flickering all of a sudden, you know. It was just really neat. And but the game. So, we score, and I'm like, oh, what's up with this? This quarterback is not half bad. He actually threw a pass, because all weekend long I've been complaining about the quarterbacks, except for the game with Klubnik and Nussmeier. Those two guys. They're the only ones that, to me, I thought had decent games, okay? And I like the Miami guy.
Klubnik, I thought Nussmeier was way better than Klubnik, but
he was. I'm not a big fan of Klubnik, but at least they passed the ball some. I mean, oh my God, Arch Manning hurt my eyes. Anyway, I'm like, we get that pass interference call. Yeah. I'm like, God, that was not pass interference. I thought, are we going to collapse? Because usually that's what we do. And I thought, no, we're still in this. Then it was 3rd and 13. And we just ran the ball up the middle, like not even pretend to pass. And that's when I knew he didn't trust the quarterback. I said, okay, we can't pass. We cannot throw. We are playing to punt. And it was over after that. So that's why I said, let's just get the heck out of here. I got my pregame fun. I saw some people. And move on. I'm not interested in what Bill has to offer. I knew this would be a disaster in the making, but did we have to get embarrassed? That's me and Doc Walker have in common. His school got blasted, and my school got blasted this weekend. So. On to NFL.
All right, quick.
Okay, now, I am definitely worried about the Giants, because with one Daniel Jones that everybody hates, I'm a big fan, I'm a bigger fan of him than everybody else. Of course, I did pick him my era in my fantasy league last year. Anyway, we almost lost. They didn't even have a kicker. And we almost lost. If Malik Nabers doesn't drop a pass right in his hands, we lose that game. They are better now. Malik Nabers is another year. He's got now Russell Wilson. If not, we got Jackson Dart. And, of course, we should be better, too. But will we be as lucky as we were last year? See, luck doesn't strike twice, but it struck five times last year for us. I don't know if it's going to strike six and seven and eight and nine. So I think the surprise team, I'm with Athan on this one, the surprise team I think in the NFL is going to be the Giants. Mm. I would really watch out for them. I think they're going to be the ones that end up in the playoffs that weren't in the playoffs last year. Oh. But I don't know who I'm going to kick out.
Wow.
That's what I got for you.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate you.
All right. Love you.
That's interesting. Doc laying it on the line thinks that G-men are going to be a playoff team. I don't know if I would go that far. I have to see more. I have to see just how dominant this defense is, because it is going to be a roller coaster. No matter who plays at quarterback for the Giants, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Jackson Dart, whether it's Jameis Winston, it's going to be a roller coaster. But right now, as we told you during the trending alert, Jackson Dart is listed as the number two. We'll see on game day. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout, and we will come back and get more of your calls on the other side right here on the Team 980. Stay with us. I see you all lined up. We've got Lap. We've got Stevie Ray. We've got Paulie. We've got Mitch. We've got everybody. We'll get to you. Just hang in there. Talking Giants Commanders, your biggest fear about week one. I gave you mine, pass rush versus the revamped offensive line, and also who you want to be the primary or the lead physical back, Rodriguez or Bill on Sunday. Let's worry about Sunday, and whether you think Bill's even going to be active or not. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, always live on the Odyssey app, as well streaming on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, week one of the NFL season is here, boys and girls. That means it all kicks off, yes, Thursday night, of course, with the Eagles and the Cowboys, but really, it gets going on Sunday. And while the Giants and Commanders will be playing, you should check out all the rest of the action on CBS and Paramount Plus. That's right. Football talk here on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So here's what you do. Right, Sunday afternoon, Giants Commanders at 1 o'clock, and then at around 4:10, after the Commanders win, you flip over to CBS and you watch the CBS game, depending on where you are listening to this, or you watch it on Paramount Plus, and away you go. And then you have a little fun. Then you could watch maybe another game on television. Or if you're at a bar, whatever. Wherever the case might be. Just, you got the CBS, and you got the Paramount Plus, and you're good to go. All right, let's get to this. On the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to, let's see here. Lap is with us in D.C. on line 3, Metal. Lap, go right ahead. How are you, pal?
Hey, what's up, Rooster Mac? Good show, bro.
Thanks, man.
I think my concern is, and I'm in agreement with you, definitely the offensive line. I know we're going to play some really good defensive teams, especially some good front sevens, you know, and we definitely going to have to be prepared and definitely be able to protect Jaden's blind side. Mm-hmm. The running backs, I'm hoping Bill is, because Which one of those backs you think, is it Rodriguez or McNichols? I'm thinking he's going to probably take one of those spots.
I'm kind of wondering. If they do it like they did all of last year, I don't think there was one single game last year where they had four running backs active. Meaning Rodriguez did not play if B-Rob and Eckler were healthy, which for C-Rod's case, they weren't a lot, especially in the second half of the season, so he did play a lot. But when they were healthy, i.e. the playoffs, and even that final regular season game, and earlier in the year, Chris Rodriguez Rodriguez was not active. So what I don't know is if they're going to go three or four. If they go three, I don't think Bill even makes the active lineup. I don't think he's playing. I don't think he's getting an active spot if they go three over Eckler and or McNichols. And I would presume Rodriguez would have the slight advantage over Bill just based on experience and the ability to, again, help them a little bit in other ways. Maybe that Bill is still catching up on, but just simply because he's a rookie and he didn't play really much ball in his final year of college, which, again, I don't think is an embarrassment. I've kind of, in my mind, attributed it to they'll probably go three running backs. Maybe Bill won't even be active. And then Bill might be active in week two because Rodriguez, who knows, might be a little bit beat up on a short week or something else happens. So we'll have to see exactly how it plays out. But if they go three, I think it'll be McNichols, Eckler, and Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez is the lead primary back, if you will. I think there's a chance they could go four, but again, just no way to know if they use one of those game day elevation things for that wouldn't even matter because you're on the active roster, so you can't use a game day elevation to get them on the active roster. So, you know, so basically, in other words, again, it really depends on whether they decide, okay. The good news is all four of those guys can help them on special teams. Now, you don't want Eckler to, but you need to have Eckler healthy or active when he's healthy. You can't sit him. So, you know, McNichols can help them. Bill can help them. Rodriguez can help them. Yeah. So that will help if there's a decision to keep four active. I just don't know whether there will be or not.
Yeah, I'd agree. Rodriguez, to me, is the weak link out of them. I mean, of course, he's familiar with the team, so he's been here longer, but I would take Eckler and McNichols over Rodriguez, and I would give Bill that last spot. But it might work out the way you say, too, and we still have an option there with Bill because I think he's going to get some meaningful games, you know, really to help us out. I want to see that offense with Debo and Terry and Noah. And I'm really excited to see what the defense is going to look out, particularly the secondary. And that front seven, I want to see just how effective they're going to be just as a unit. Because I think they're going to play collectively as a unit. But like I told you, Rooster, I want to see them force turnovers like Dan Quinn's defenses.
Yeah.
Like when he was defensive coordinator with Seattle.
Yeah.
And I think some people forget that Dan Quinn won the Super Bowl with the Seahawks. We got a lot of guys on this team that – one championship, so that really helps our team out a lot.
No doubt. Thank you, Lappy. Appreciate you. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yep.
Here's the one thing I keep saying, right? You can talk about run defense like until you're blue in the face, like I hear all of my colleagues talking about. None of them mention turnovers that I've heard. Nobody. Takeaways. I don't care what you do against the run.
It would help us out a lot,
yeah,
bro. We got
yeah,
that
no
done.
Doubt. Lap, I appreciate you. Thank
all
you,
right,
pal.
But
none of them talk about takeaways. You can, if you have 25 takeaways this year, 1.5 per game, if you have 25, I guarantee you you'll be a top 15, top 16 defense. Guarantee you. In whatever category you want. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. That's the number for you to hop aboard. Stevie Ray, Paulie, Mitch, everybody coming up after the top of the hour. Stay tight on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital with us on the Team 980.